Well, good morning.
Morning.
I'm glad you've come. Let me reiterate what Brother Rick and Brother Dave have already mentioned. This is the beginning of a big deal. And I must admit to you that I am, I don't know if nervous is the right word about it, but I certainly feel the gravity of it. Eldership is an important process. God created, we talk quite a bit about the fact that God created His church, Christ Church, to be autonomous and overseen by elders and deacons. This congregation has existed for 20 years without them. As we begin this process, we've been through this kind of thing before. It hasn't always ended well. So as much as I'm excited about it, and I have been waiting to preach this particular lesson for a long time. As much as I am excited about it, I must tell you that I fear missteps on my part. I am cautious about this lesson. I am hopeful about this lesson. And I'm asking you, we're going to pray in just a minute, but I'm asking you for your prayers during the week that you pray not only for this congregation, but pray for me as I try to deliver the Word of God to you. Okay, we'll get to that in just a minute. In the bulletin today, there is a schedule of sermons, basically six sermons every other week, dodging Thanksgiving and fall break up through the first week of December. These six lessons are designed to prepare us to know what an elder looks like, to be ready to submit to eldership, to talk about the organization of the church, to talk about how it is that we're going to set things in order. All those topics are going to be covered. What I'm trying to do is center this congregation's mind on this idea solely. Solely. Because if elders are to be ordained in this congregation, it will occur because we, the members of the North Second Street Church of Christ, will it to be so. So if you're wondering if you matter this morning, you matter this morning. Everyone matters. And it matters that we're praying about this issue. It matters that we're thinking about this issue. It matters that we're studying about this issue. So you have the schedule in your bulletin. It's slightly edited from the one I handed out in March, just on a couple of dates. In fact, in 2 weeks from now, on October the 4th, I'm very excited about the fact that a man named Phil Barnes, who's an elder at the Franklin Church of Christ, is going to come and speak to us on the work of elders. And I was speaking to him on the phone this week, and I told him, I said, you know, there are just some things I can preach about them, but someone who has filled that role, I think, will do a great job. So I'm very excited about the fact that part of our learning and teaching process on this will include someone who has filled that role. Are we willing to submit to elders as a church? It's not the lesson today, but you're going to get one whole lesson on that one idea. Have we been free-range sheep too long? Now, you may think, well, you know, why are you saying that? Because we get used to having it the way we like it. I like my opinion just as being as valuable as anybody else's opinion. I like doing those kind of things. I think Americans, particularly human beings, we don't like someone telling us what we should do. If we're going to have overseers in this congregation, they're going to make decisions on doubtful things, and it's going to be up to us to submit to them. Now, if you've ever worshipped in a congregation with elders, you understand that. But if you've been part of this group for a long time, that's an idea that may take a little getting used to. I was a bachelor for a long time. You've heard me talk about this. I was almost 31 years old before I got married. I had settled into a lot of habits. We're kind of the same way. It's going to be a different arrangement. And if we're going to be successful about it, we're going to have to look into our hearts and say, am I willing to submit? Are we willing to humble ourselves and finally become a church of Christ, organized and governed according to the Word of God? That's the question. Well, I want to start just briefly in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Just briefly, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And I want this verse to be on your mind as we go through this whole process. Because it is important to understand any time that we worship together that God is in our midst. And it is important as we go through this process that God is in our midst. And God will guide what happens at this congregation if we give in to His will. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul here is talking to a group of elders. By the way, as we go forward, the term elder, overseer, pastor and shepherd are all the same office in the New Testament. I'll use them interchangeably. So he's talking to this group of pastors, if you will. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, he says this, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." A couple things about that verse. It's one of those triune verses. God the Father is referenced. Jesus is not named, but he's referenced in giving his blood for the church. And then, the Holy Spirit is referenced as well. Who put those men into that eldership? This verse says the Holy Spirit did. God is with us. God is with us in this process. And if we humble ourselves to Him, He will lead us in the direction that we are to go. If you would please go with me in prayer. Our Father, our God, the great I Am. Lord, we're humble before You. We come together, Lord, as a church of Your people. We love You. We love Your Son. We're filled with the Spirit. We thank You for the blessings that we have. Lord, as we approach Your Word and we approach the instructions that You've given us in it, we pray, Lord, that we can abase ourselves, humble ourselves, and submit ourselves to Your will through Your Word. That whatever pride we may have, whatever feelings we may have that come between us and our fellow Christians, we may put them aside. Lord, we ask that we all seek as one body to be in one spirit and one mind as we go forward in this process, Lord, that we beg to be blessed with elders. We know that it is Your will and Your desire, Lord, that in all Your churches there should be overseers. And Lord, we ask that You raise up men, and we ask that You humble us to submit. Please be with us, Lord, as we go through this process, and may Your will be done. We pray in the Spirit and through the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. This is the verse that Brother Matt read to us. By the way, these lessons will probably be long, so gripe to somebody else. Jeremiah chapter 23. Let's look at the first few verses. What I want you to understand about this is that shepherds are a promise. Shepherds are a promise. Jeremiah here is talking about Jesus. We know this because in the next couple of verses he talks about Him being the branch of Jesse. And he's first going to condemn the leaders of physical Israel because they had not acted well as shepherds. And then the Word of God promises that in the time of Jesus' era, during the time of the branch of Jesse, that there would be shepherds. Shepherds are a blessing. We talked about it in Bible study this morning. So many things are more difficult because we don't have eldership. Why is that? Because we've not submitted ourselves to God's will. This church cannot be what it is to be until it is organized the way God designed it. Period. I don't care how well we think we're doing. I don't care how much we grow. Until we are overseen by elders and deacons, until we allow the Holy Spirit to appoint men in this congregation, we are in some sense defying God's will. Now, I know it's not always easy, and I know it's not always possible. But we need to see ourselves in that way. Take a look at what the Word of God says to the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 23. Now, it's to be remembered here that God is punishing His people for what He's talking about in the first two verses. "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of My pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for My people, you have scattered My flock and driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord." What a terrible condemnation. Notice that God says, I'm going to deal with you. He uses the phrase, the Lord your God, Jehovah your God. He's emphasizing the fact of who he is, and he's going to hold them accountable. Verse 3 now, God begins to promise what will occur in the new covenant. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. What do shepherds do? What's the purpose of shepherds in a congregation? This verse tells us quite a bit. The first thing they do is they don't let sheep wander off. They don't allow sheep to be scattered. That's why God says, I'm coming and you're going to have to give an account. But notice there, they do not fear. They do not dismay. Elders settle a congregation in a way that nothing else can do. Nothing else can do. You know what the number one question, those of us, there are a few of us that talk to people who want to become a member here. You know what the number one question we get is? The number one question? Does this church have elders? Because without elders, wolves come in. It's easier, it is easier. It doesn't matter how strong you think you are, how well you know the Bible, it does not matter. If you don't have elders in the congregation, it's easier for wolves to come in, period. And wolves kill sheep. Those sheep are God's. Shepherds calm the sheep. I've asked my friend Terry Francis to write on this, and he has not done it. I'll fuss at him this week. He made a comment one time, and I'm sure, knowing Terry, he copied it from somebody else. It's a joke for Terry. But he was talking about the fact, and don't listen, before I say this, let me say this. I've been in more business meetings than probably anybody. So I'm who I'm talking about. Business meetings are full of men who are by definition unqualified. Now he's not really accusing the men in the business meeting. What he's saying is, if you don't have elders, If you don't have elders in a church, by definition, you have to rely on the business meeting. Well, who's got an opinion in the business meeting? Everybody. That doesn't bring calm. That's not speaking with one voice. Now, I can't tell you, let me tell you something right now. I can't tell you how pleased I've been for, I don't know, the last 2 or 3 years. With how things have gone. And let me just say that. Please don't misunderstand. This is not an axe to grind. But it's not the same as having men who are elders, who are qualified to do it, making the decisions for the church and the church submitting to them. Quiet. Less fear, less dismay. Dedicated people to making sure the sheep don't wander off. That's what a shepherd does. It is a promise of God that he will set shepherds over his people in the era of the branch of Jesse. Jesse, if you don't know, was the father of David. David was king of Israel, and it was to David that God said that he would always have a son to rule on the throne in Jerusalem. And that son is Jesus Christ. In the time of the Savior, there will be no more lost sheep. There will be no more fear or dismay, declares the Lord. So when we enter into this process, that's what we're going for. This is God's desire, God's plan, and God's reason. Well, this lesson, I'm sure you know, is based on a phrase that Jesus uses in John chapter 10. I was so excited a couple of years ago that we got to do the I am statements of Jesus in the book of John. I had heard sermons on that when I was a child, and it was a great pleasure to do that Bible study series. This is one of the I am statements of Jesus. I am the good shepherd. And before we get into it, I'm going to skip a couple of verses, the ones about the door of the church, because some of these apply strictly to Jesus. There's no doubt about this. Jesus is speaking about himself. However, the things that Jesus uses in the metaphor about being the good shepherd apply to the situation that we're talking about today. So if you're wondering why he doesn't talk about that, it's because I think some of those things apply strictly to Jesus. What does Jesus say about shepherds? I'll never forget at the Riverside Drive Church of Christ, which is what this congregation was called before we moved into this building, Brooks Cochran preached a sermon called "They Smell Like Sheep." It was not recorded, but it was one of the... It's 20 years later, I remember the sermon. It was based on a book by a man named Lynn Anderson, and it is fabulous. It's not perfect, but it's fabulous. I had always thought of the eldership this way. Well, you got 1 Timothy chapter 3, you got Titus chapter 1, check, and they're in charge, and they make sure that we pave the parking lot. What a beggarly view of the eldership. What a complete misunderstanding of what a shepherd is. Elders are shepherds. Churches are flocks. If I am a good shepherd, I smell like sheep. You know why? Because I sleep with them. They don't wander off. I pick the ticks off of them. I bind them up when they're injured. I pull them out of the wolf's mouth. An elder is with the sheep all the time. Jesus, in his discussion of being the good shepherd here, tells us about that. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Let's see what he means by that. Let's see what we can analyze about what Jesus says that we can apply to this eldership process. "Truly, truly, I say to you," if you have a King James Version of the Bible, "verily, verily." Jesus is trying to get us to understand, this is important. Listen to me. "I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them all," "when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. So many lessons. You're going to get tired of hearing me preach about the eldership. Hopefully not, but you might. But there's reason behind that. There's a reason why this is at least the second time you've gotten this schedule. There's a reason why it's taken us a year to get to this point. There's a reason why we're being slow and transparent, and I've written pages. That's the reason I gave you a 5-page document. We're not sneaking into this deal. We're going to be slow. We're going to be deliberate. We're going to be transparent. If we are to have true shepherds here, they're going to come in through the gate. Ever been somewhere where somebody appointed themselves elders? I was sitting in the pew where Jack was. I'll never forget it. That's sneaking in through the back door. Do you think that brings calm and lack of dismay to a church? Let me tell you, it does not. In fact, we are 12 years after that. The ramifications from it are still in your heart and mind right now as we enter this process. I guarantee that. We're taking it easy. I may preach 2 or 3 sermons too many. It is not going to sneak up on you. If you have not taken seriously looking in the bulletin, please do it today. Keep it. Know it. January 10th. January 10th. Everybody's going to know when we're doing it. Everybody's going to know how. Everybody's going to have a say. Period. Jesus says the true shepherd comes in through the door. Here's what I want you to notice. The sheep hear his voice and he knows them by name. Woo, that's big. Notice he says he leads them out. He does not drive them out. They follow willingly. If we are to have elders at this congregation, it will be because this flock decides to follow men who will lead. That's it. If this congregation does not feel comfortable following two or more men as their shepherds, then we will not have elders. And that will be a terrible shame in both directions. You know why they follow that man? You know why they hear his voice? Because he knows their name. Because he smells like sheep. The eldership process is not a gold watch of your Christianity. It is not a retirement prize for having been a moral guy. It is a job. It's a serious job. It's a job that requires work and leadership. One of the things that this book by Anderson talked about, and I've never forgotten this, shepherds will have sheep even before they're officially elders. Shepherds have flocks. If a man is in January is going to be qualified to be an elder of this congregation, right now they have sheep that they serve. Right now. Not in January, not when they become elders, do they all of a sudden start shepherding sheep. No. They are shepherds. They are the kind of people who love and care and bind up and clean and comb and pick the burrs out of the hide and out of the wool of a sheep. They are the ones that go after those. They don't have to be told so-and-so hadn't been to services here in 3, 4, 5 weeks. They don't have to be told to write a card to the one that needs encouragement. And the congregation doesn't need to be told what their name is because the shepherd knows theirs. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Sheep hear my voice. He knows their name. He leads them out, and they follow. The shepherd metaphor, as we go through this entire process, should ring in your mind and ring in your ears. When we're going through those, we're going to go two lessons on 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1 and 1 Peter chapter 5. Don't worry, for those of you who think we're going to go light on the qualities an elder should have, we're going to do plenty of that. But what I want you to see is, are they a shepherd? Because they either are or they're not. And it really doesn't matter if they're the husband of one wife and have believing kids. If they don't know your name and you're not willing, and this congregation is not willing to follow one and lead, they're not shepherds. Speaking of 1 Peter chapter 5, turn there for just a second. 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll have more to say about this in a couple of weeks. 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll read verses 2 and 3. One of the interesting things about this section, and we're not going to talk about it too much, is Peter refers to himself as a fellow elder. For those of you who know the history of Roman Catholicism, they try to claim that Peter was a pope. Peter considered himself just a humble, local elder. But look, notice what he says about the job description. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. I told you we're going to come back to this verse later in this series. But here's what I want you to notice. Whose flock? God's flock. Remember Jeremiah 23? I'm coming to get you because what you've done with my flock. Peter here reminds these elders that we're talking about God's work, God's things, and God's precious sheep. Be an example. When Jesus says that he will lead the sheep out, you have to lead. You cannot drive. You cannot cajole. You must. That's really what 1 Peter chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1 are about. That's how you measure a man that's lived long with the Lord. Has he been an example in the church for a long time? If he has, he will most likely have done these things. He will most likely be these things. So elders must be an example to the flock. If I want someone to write a card to somebody, better write a card. If I think, man, I tell you, I wish more was done to repair the outside of the building or to care for the property. If I wish that more Bible classes were held, if I wish that more Bible studies were held, if I wish whatever it is, if it's going to be, it's up to me. And Peter says it's up to elders, those that shepherd the flock of God, to be an example. Well, back to John chapter 10. If you don't get anything else out of this lesson, the sheep hear his voice and the shepherd knows their name. Now back to the text. Jesus adds a little more to this. A shepherd is no hireling. This is important. One of the things that we talk about within this process is the difference between someone who is a CEO elder and someone who smells like sheep. And everybody gets excited when I say this. I am not saying that if you're a businessman, you cannot be an elder. Please don't misunderstand me. What I'm saying is there's a difference in the way a CEO of a company behaves and acts and the way a shepherd behaves. Jesus tells us this in John chapter 10. Do you know why Tim Cook is the CEO of Apple? Do you know why Tim Cook is the CEO of Apple? Because he's paid many, many, many dollars. Okay? If someone came along, he probably has more money. He's probably a bad example. That's probably a guy who has enough money, it doesn't matter to him. But someone who's your manager at work, the reason they're your manager at work is they're paid. If they weren't paid, they would not be your manager at work. Rick has a couple guys that work for him hanging gutters. Do you know why they work for Rick? It's not because they love Rick, although they may love Rick. It's because Rick pays them. Elders are not paid managers. Elders are not hirelings. Jesus points this out clearly in John chapter 10, verses 11 through 16. We are talking about life-changing work. Now I said there are some things in here that refer directly to Jesus. We're not asking elders to lay down their physical life on the cross in the way Jesus did. Please don't misunderstand me. But there is a sense in which you're going to give your life to this. Don't be surprised by that. Jesus says, if you're to be a disciple of mine, you're to take up your cross daily and follow me. Lose your life to find it. The man who desires the office, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the man who desires the office desires to give himself to the flock. Let's look at what Jesus says in John chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. I am the good shepherd. He says it just in case you hadn't heard him before. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We've already talked about the fact that Jesus is talking about more than eldership. Verse 12 is where I want to go. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You want to be an elder? You think you're worthy of shepherding a flock? You ready to give your life for it? Ready to be inconvenienced? Ready for midnight phone calls? Ready for difficult conversations? Are you willing to stand if false teachers come in? Are you willing to stand if divisive people come into the church? Even if it costs you something? Even if it inconveniences you? Jesus is our example. And Jesus says a true shepherd will not run when the wolf comes. Do you look at this flock as your own? Again, the shepherd metaphor. A hireling says, I gave it my best shot. You know, I was qualified. They made me elder. I ran the budget. We ran a budget surplus 5 years in a row. Great job. But if you don't care for the sheep, if you don't see them as your own children, Jesus will say you're a hireling. Don't forget that this process is about you and I and the lens with which we see this church and men who we would put in that position. Never misunderstand the fact this congregation will ordain elders. This congregation will decide who they want to be led by. Choose wisely. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 tells us why a true shepherd will not leave sheep. Why a true shepherd doesn't say, oh, there's somebody else's sheep, let the wolf have them. I'm not getting bit for a denarius a day. Whose sheep? God's sheep. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders, submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. But then do this with joy, not groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. You want to be a shepherd? Congratulations. The souls of the flock I'm going to ask you about. It's the same language that God used in telling Noah that anyone who shed blood, God said, you will have to give an account. Eldership is life or death. Life or death. It's more important than life or death. It's spiritual life or death. If you desire that office, you need to know you must give an account. Not something to be entered into lightly by the congregation or by the men. Well, finally, I kind of want to end this lesson where we began. If you think back to Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 4, he said they will not fear, no longer will they dismay. Shepherds have that effect on a church. The reason true elders are positive for a church is because the church can begin to worry about the business of God instead of everything else. Because hopefully true men who are elders lead and they observe the teaching of the church, the teaching of God, and they do those things that lead to peace and prosperity. This may seem like a weird couple of verses, but I like them. Casting the lot settles between strong adversaries. Huh? What? We're rolling dice? What's the deal? Let me read it for you. The lot puts it into quarrels and decides between powerful contenders. What's that got to do with eldership? You know what it has to do with eldership? They make those decisions. Jack and I don't argue about the decisions. Elders make those decisions, and once the decision is made, we can all get along. The worst thing in the world, you've heard the phrase, too many cooks in the kitchen? Anybody ever heard that? Too many cooks in the kitchen. If I don't know how many people, let's say we've got 35 people here. If we all tried to get together and agree on what food to have, how would that go? Well, first of all, we'd probably end up eating something nobody wants. Okay? Because we'd have to agree on something. And the guy who wanted Mexican food would have his feelings hurt. The guy who wanted oxtail would have his feelings hurt. The guy who wanted moose, Scott Ford may have a deer in the freezer, whatever the case may be, their feelings are hurt because my thing didn't get picked. You got contenders. Where if somebody comes up and says, hey, we're going to the Mexican restaurant, everybody let's go. All right. See the difference? There is magic in the lot. The Bible tells us. God is in the lot. But God is in the lot because it's a made decision that we can all move on with our lives about. That's what elders do. Proverbs 16:33. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. What the Jews believed was that God made those decisions, and if it was God's will, we needed to go with it. What's better than that? That's a faith statement. That's a peace statement. Let's organize ourselves. Let's put elders in this congregation, and then let's follow them, and let's be about something else. Let's be about the gospel. Let's be about binding up the wounded. Let's be about lost sheep. Let's be about growing this congregation. And we'll let those cats deal with the problems. Now, that may seem kind of coarse, but I'm telling you, that's what we're to do. Well, Jeremiah 23 says, God says, I'm going to put shepherds over them, and when that happens, no more fear, no more dismay, no more lost sheep. The reason we don't have fear and dismay is somebody's made that, the lot is cast. You can't argue with the lot. What are we looking for? Shepherds who know the flock by name, whose voice is familiar to the flock, who lead the way, who the flock follows, those who take responsibility for the flock, those who guard the flock as their own, and those who make decisions based on God's wisdom. That's a prayer. May God make it so in this congregation. Peace. Settled decisions. Mature, wise leadership. Men who we can imitate their godly life. Sound good? Hopefully it sounds good to you. It sounds good to me. I'm ready for it. Psalm 23, verse 1 and 2. You may have heard this before. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside turbulent waters. No. Still waters. Fed and peaceful. You ever seen a rabbit? I don't know why this entertains me. You ever seen a rabbit lay down and eat clover? They'll just lay down and just... I've always envied that. I've always thought that would be a pretty good way to go. If I could do Captain Crunch that way, that's the way I'd be tomorrow morning. That's what sheep get to do when they're shepherds. Lay down in the grass by still waters. Man. God promised His people He would set shepherds over them. Paul said the Holy Spirit was responsible for the ordination of the men who were elders in Ephesus. May it be so here. May God raise up men, and may God raise up a church at the North Second Street Church of Christ, humble enough and willing to follow where they lead. That's our lesson. We've not talked too much about initial Christianity, but I will tell you we have, because Jesus said He laid down His life for the sheep. Jesus is the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. He died on that cross so that you might have life. God raised Him from the dead by the same Holy Spirit that dwells in us. And the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus will raise our mortal bodies in the end. And we will be changed at the last moment, at the twinkling of an eye, at the trumpet sound. And we will go to be with the Lord. Can that be said of you? It can be said of all those for whom Jesus Christ is Lord. Look in the Bible and see how many times it says, Jesus Christ, our Lord. If He's not your Lord today, we would love for Him to be our Lord with you. Come forward in faith, confess Him as your Savior, confess Him as your Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. If we can help you in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing.